Let's continue in 2 Timothy 2 by reading verses 5 through 7. In these verses, we are given two more models of the faithful Christian, the athlete and the farmer. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 5. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. The hardworking farmer must be first to partake of the crops. Consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things. Once again, let's look at a few background notes to help us understand the teaching of these few verses. Remember that the Apostle Paul was in prison as he wrote this letter to Timothy. 2 Timothy was his last letter, and in this chapter he gave Timothy several models of the faithful Christian. Paul realized that his life was drawing to a close, and he wanted to challenge Timothy to carry on the work as a faithful Christian. Paul himself certainly had followed the lessons from these models, and now he's exhorting Timothy to do the same. Here in verses 5 and 6, we have two of these models that Paul gave to Timothy, the athlete and the farmer. I think the primary idea in the model of the athlete is discipline. And I think the primary idea in the model of the farmer is labor or hard work. Remember that the athlete we're talking about here is not a weekend softball player, but a Greek runner in the games. The Greek games were the roots of our modern Olympic games. And the farmer here is not the present-day farmer with all kinds of modern motorized equipment. The farmer here is the farmer of the first century, who labored long and hard hours under the sun, under the hot sun, without any power equipment. In verse 7, Paul tells Timothy to consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things. In other words, think over these models, Timothy. Meditate on these models, and the Lord will give you further understanding, further insight into the lessons of these models. Well, this is God's word to us. If we meditate on these models of the faithful Christian, the Lord will give us further understanding and insight into the lessons that are here. Let's move to our doctrinal or teaching points. Doctrinal point number one, like an athlete, the faithful Christian is disciplined in training. Like an athlete, the faithful Christian is disciplined in training. The Greek runner had to follow the rules of training as well as rules of the race. Now, even today, if you're going to be successful in any sport as an athlete, you must be disciplined in your training. There's the matter of diet and curfew and workouts and wind sprints and practice and practice and practice. How many of you have ever trained seriously for track or for some other sport? You know you have to be disciplined in your training, or you'll never make it. You won't even be in shape. The same is true in the Christian life. Like an athlete, the faithful Christian is disciplined in training. To come to know God's word better takes discipline in training. It takes discipline to set the alarm early, to make time to study scripture. It takes discipline to memorize scripture. It takes discipline to have a prayer life as a believer. How many would agree? Memorizing scripture, prayer, this takes discipline. You know, I think in my own personal life, I think it takes more discipline for me to pray often and regularly than anything else. It doesn't take me a lot of discipline to sit down and study God's word. I love that. But I would say, as far as prayer life, praying often, praying regularly, trying to follow the scripture, pray without ceasing, that takes discipline. It doesn't happen automatically. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9:27, I buffet my body and make it a slave. That's the King James Version. He didn't mean there that he beat himself with a baseball bat, but he meant I discipline my body and bring it into subjection. Like an athlete, the faithful Christian is disciplined in training. Doctrinal point number two, like an athlete, the faithful Christian is disciplined in running. Like an athlete, the faithful Christian is disciplined in running. Running the race. Suppose the Greek runner, when he entered the stadium to run that last lap of the marathon, found himself 50 yards behind the lead runner. And so he just cut across the infield to the finish line. I'm so sorry. No laurel wreath, no crown. It doesn't matter how disciplined the runner was in training. He wasn't disciplined in running the race. He cheated. He did not compete according to the rules. Well, the same is true in the Christian life. You may be disciplined in reading the Bible. You may be disciplined in memorizing scripture. You may be disciplined in attending services at church and so on. But if you cheat in school, or cheat on your income tax, or don't give money back to the store who undercharged you, or conveniently forget to pay back a loan, or take materials home from work, or lie on job application forms, you're cheating. You're not competing according to the rules. Like an athlete, the faithful Christian is disciplined in running, not only in training, but in running. A few years ago, down at Courtesy Lumber, David and I went down there to buy some lumber for a project we were doing at home. I said, how much do you think this is all going to cost? Well, he came up with something like about $100. I said, no, David, this is going to cost a lot more than that. Well, we get all this material together, run it through. Sure enough, the bill comes up about $100. I can't believe it. So David said, see, I'm a better estimator than you are, Dad. Well, I got home, and sure enough, they had undercharged us. They had left off some major items. The bill was more like $250 rather than $100. So I go back there and try to pay back the money. I said, hey, you made a mistake. Well, there was a guy down there, finally one of the managers. You know, I said, well, I'm doing this because I'm a Christian. It's the right thing to do. I'll never forget what he said. He said, I'm a Baptist. I would never do this. Well, I had a little chance to witness to him, too. Well, before moving on now to the doctrinal point for the farmer, let's take a practical application from the model of the athlete. Will you be a medalist or an also-ran? Will you be a medalist or an also-ran? In the Olympic Games today, it must be a great thrill to stand on the winner's stand and receive a medal, and hear the national anthem of your country played. Must be a tremendous thrill. What a greater thrill to stand before the Lord and hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant. Every true believer will be in heaven, but not every believer will hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Read 1 Corinthians 3. Some people get in by the skin of their teeth. Yes, they're in, praise the Lord, but no rewards, wood, hay, and stubble. No gold, silver, precious stone. But the question here is, will you be a medalist or an also-ran? In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 and 25, we read, do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Will you be a medalist or an also-ran? Some Christians disqualify themselves for medals because of disobedience and lack of discipline. The good news here is that every Christian has the potential of being a medalist. No one has to be an also-ran. Just be a faithful and fruitful Christian. You'll be a medalist. But the question remains, will you be a medalist or an also-ran? Now let's move on to the farmer. Our doctrinal point from the farmer is this. Like a farmer, a faithful Christian labors for the harvest. Like a farmer, a faithful Christian labors for the harvest. Verse 6. The hardworking farmer must be first to partake of the crops. Hard work or labor is the primary thought here. How many of you have ever had a garden? I think most of us have at one time or another. Well, it's a lot of work. Even a backyard garden, it's a lot of work. Preparing the soil, planting the seed, weeding, watering, cultivating, making sure the wild animals don't eat the tomatoes, et cetera, et cetera. That's our problem right now. We've got some tomatoes in the backyard. We haven't had one yet because the squirrels have all gotten them. But it's a lot of work. The farmer must labor in patience toward the harvest. That's the point. Like a farmer, a faithful Christian labors for the harvest. The farmer must labor in patience toward the harvest. There are no shortcuts. There are no instant results. The farmer's hard work is not for a medal or laurel wreath or crown like the athlete. No, it's for the harvest. That's the farmer's goal and reward. What is the harvest? The harvest is people. People brought to salvation through Christ. People brought to maturity in Christ. Like a farmer, a faithful Christian labors for the harvest. Practical application. How big a shareholder are you? How big a shareholder are you? Now, we're not talking about stocks and bonds here, right? We're talking about crops, the crops of the people harvest. Verse 6 says, the hardworking farmer must be first to partake of the crops. You can be sure of two things if you're willing to labor like a farmer. One, there will be a harvest. Isaiah 55:11. God says, my word will not return unto me void. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And two, you can be sure you will share in that harvest. If you are willing to labor hard, like a farmer, you can be sure you will share in the harvest. Verse 6 again, the hardworking farmer must be first to partake of the crops. Your share in the harvest, in the crops, is proportional to your labor. It's not only joy and blessing now as you see people rescued from the road to hell. Think of the joy and blessing in heaven when someone says to you, you know, I'm here because you labored on earth. You gave me that little booklet. You reached out. You talked to me. Your share in the crops forever is proportional to your labor here on earth. How big a shareholder are you?